This is a Renewed Covenant Ministry message. Every message delivered by this ministry strives to show the relevance of the most important covenant ever revealed to God's people. The New Covenant. A covenant offering grace through faith, thereby renewing the law of God in our hearts and minds through the manifestation of the only begotten Son and eternal Word of God, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, the firstborn among many brethren. The majority of our audio messages come from our Sabbath Bible studies, delivered by Brother J.S. Lowther at a Sabbath convocation centered around the patriarchal family structure near Marietta, Ohio. Contact us by mail at Box 134, 140 Gross Street, Marietta, Ohio, 45750. Find related messages relevant to the systematic theology offered by Renewed Covenant Ministry at renewedcovenantministry.com. And now for the message.
We're going to continue in the series we've been working on, How Do We Keep the Feasts? This was going to be part 13. The answer today is by remembering the Day of Trumpets. By remembering the Day of Trumpets. Starting in 2 Peter 1, 2, to get our minds focused back on why it is that we are looking at this subject, Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Yeshua our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua Christ." So again, centering our understanding as to why it is that we are adding anything to our faith. Oftentimes you'll hear people say that we don't need to do that. You should never have to add anything to your faith. But Peter seems to have a completely different opinion. Rather, that is a necessity for a Christian that they are constantly adding to their faith. And so in the template that we're working in out of Leviticus chapter 23, we are now in verses 23 through 25, wherein it says, "Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh." And so in what we read here, we have some elements to keep track of just what's said in that statement of the template we're working in. And particularly that would start out with, this is the first day of the seventh month, which is a new moon. That's important. It's the first day of the seventh month, which should be an obvious. It's called a Sabbath. It is a memorial or a remembrance, a zakor, of blowing the trumpet. It is also a holy convocation. And it says in the next verse, "Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh," of course, which is what would have happened on every holy convocation and every Sabbath that was being worshipped on. We've looked several times at Bible study into the Memorial of Trumpets, and I often use this feast in showing the pattern of the new moon-based Sabbath as it correlates to the fourth commandment in a natural lunar cycle of weeks. The language by which the remembrance of the Sabbath of the fourth commandment is spoken of is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what we find in the fourth commandment. And it is directly related to the memorial which uses the same Hebrew word of the new moon, Zakor, which when it's speaking of something that is yours, possessive, it is Zekoron. Notice that while we often call this memorial by the name of the Feast of Trumpets, the language in the text is lacking. We don't actually have a place in the Bible where it calls it the Feast of Trumpets. But we oftentimes slip into calling that. It would probably be more correct to call it the season, because it is a season, according to Leviticus 23:3, being that it is appointed by the moon. It would be a season in that sense. But in the same way, I guess loosely, we would just refer to that as a holiday, as a festival. And so that language is lacking. Very directly, this time is called, however, a memorial. A memorial. And so it's good to remember, pun intended, that this is a remembrance, a memorial. It is to bring something to mind. In this case, it is of the blowing of the trumpet. We are to look at the parallel laws concerning this time in Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. It says, in the seventh month, in this time, it just calls it in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. It's from this text that we get the term that you often hear people who are trying to use Hebrew terminology call this feast by. They'll call it Yom Teruah. This is the text where that comes from. Day of Trumps is what that literally means. Yom Teruah. And so this is where that phrase would occur. Notice the synonyms that happens both in Leviticus 23 and in Numbers 29. When it speaks in Numbers 23, we find both statements. It calls it a Sabbath, and then it also says this is a day of no servile work. Whereas in Numbers 29, it says, you shall do no servile work therein. Okay, but it does not use the term Sabbath there. However, this is good to recognize and to pay attention to because it shows us that a Sabbath is a time of no servile work and that they are synonymously related, something that sometimes people will argue a point about, like Sabbath is only Saturday if they believe Saturday is the Sabbath, and all of the festivals that are called days of no servile work are actually not Sabbaths. Okay, they're just something special. That's oftentimes the argument that's used. And you can pay attention to the language here in both parallels and see a way to show that their language is speaking of the same thing. This appointed season, I think, for lunar Sabbatarians, us, perhaps more importantly than for others, is the memorial aspect of it, how it works in symbiosis with the fourth commandment's remembrance that I had pointed out, and how it is an evidential text to guide our calendar's cycle, making this memorial upon the seventh new moon of the year, an emphasis is being drawn on what we do on every new moon, and what's to be memorialized is because this is the seventh new moon season, because this is the Sabbath of the new moon, seven new moons have passed, this becomes a sacred or a special Sabbath new moon. It becomes something special to Yahweh. And I believe the reason it's a memorial is because it is the pattern and the expressed image of exactly what Yahweh wants out of new moons. And so he spells it out very plainly. I'm going to read a large portion from Numbers chapter 10. 1 through 10, for a proper understanding of the trumpet's role, the actual instrument, the trumpet, that makes the sound of the trump in new moon and in assembly time, and look at how do we keep this feast from these angles. Numbers 10:1 says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet technically in the Hebrew, it just says, and if they trump one time, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, will gather themselves unto thee, speaking to Moses and Aaron. And when ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts will go forward. And when ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camp that lies on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, when they're to assemble, you shall blow, but you shall not sound the alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And you shall be remembered, before Yahweh your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Numbers 10:10, easy one to remember, one to commit to memory concerning the new moon, says, also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, in the beginnings or in the heads of your months, the Septuagint translation literally says new moon. So it says in the new moons, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial, a remembrance, that is, before your God. And then he cites again his sovereignty, because I am the Lord your God, I am Yahweh. It's an important thing to notice is the use of the trumpet sound here in what we've just read. The sound being used to call the assembly of gladness, which we've read about in 10:10, calls for gladness, it calls for solemnity upon the beginnings of every month, the new moons. And when we read about the seventh new moon, we're told specifically that this is a time of remembrance or a time of memorial, right? And so on this memorial of the seventh new moon, we consider it a holiday. We consider it a holy convocation, a Sabbath. It is called that very plainly. And we carry these concepts that we read out of Numbers 10:10 into the remembrance, and we make sure that we do them. It sets the pattern. It's just like anything else in the law. Whenever we have a thing that we need to make perfect, we look into the mirror, and in this way, the seventh new moon is the way things are supposed to be, and it's closer to what it is. And so if we slip up on the other new moons, we at least have the pattern to go back to look at, and to say, oh, that's what it's supposed to be. And that's why it's the seventh, the Sabbath new moon. Okay? And so we carry these concepts that are celebrated on every new moon. This is how it is on all the new moons. It's always a Sabbath on the new moon. It's sabbatical. The trumpet is commanded, according to Numbers 10:10, to be blown on every new moon, every beginning of your month. And I think for a reason of remembrance, because that's what it says, Yahweh tells us to be sure to do it on the seventh one. And that sets in our minds the standard of the Sabbath new moon, the seventh new moon, in a sacramental observance, something that we should be doing, that we should consider sacred. I would literally encourage, and as we do with our family, folks to purchase or make a ram's horn if they have the ability to. Purchase or make a bull's horn if that's what you have available to you. Or a silver or a brass horn if you can get one, if you can afford it. We personally use ram's horns. That's what we have. I'd personally love to have a double silver trumpet, just like it's talked about, made of a single piece. But I don't have one. I'd like to have one just to hear it, and we don't have one yet. Or I'd like to have a ram's horn that is covered in silver. It would just be awesome to have that on that day. But we don't have that at this time. So we blow a regular ram's horn that we got years and years and years ago as a gift for to ourselves for the time of celebrating. Pretty long time ago now. And now we use it for all kinds of things. Anytime people are out in the yard on a large acreage and you want to get their attention, you can blow the horn and people know what it means. It means come and assemble for lunchtime. Or it means come to Bible study if we're got people outside. If you want to get people's attention. Been at church congregations before where they've had trumpets sitting around, but nobody knew how to blow it. And went outside and got everybody back into the church so we could have service by blowing the horn. It works pretty well. And so it's encouraged to actually learn to use this system of alarm or this system of celebration. It's part of who we are. It's part of our culture. It's part of what we can do very organically. It doesn't take much to take a ram's horn and turn it into a horn that you can blow through to make a trump. It's a very practical way to go about it, actually. Yahweh designed the horn so that we could have this to pattern it after whatever the thing is Moses saw in the heavens that made the trump on Mount Sinai on the day when the Ten Commandments were given. We're told that a sound of a trumpet blew longer and longer and longer, but that was a sound from heaven. It was not a trumpet of a ram's horn, I doubt. Oftentimes we don't recognize some simple language that we read in these festival times and in the text that we read regarding the blowing of the trumpet. Connections such as the word trump being connected to the word trumpet, right? The trump is the noise, the trumpet is the thing that makes it. And when we blow a trumpet, it makes a trump. Sometimes we just don't stop and think about that kind of stuff. It's just something we say. And so, on account of this, many people I have spoke to over the years simply consider this a memorial of a day of trumping, making noise, trumping. And sure, I think that you could definitely see that in the text, but you can definitely not separate it from the trumpet. In any way, shouting, singing, or making a joyful noise to Yahweh is being encouraged on this day. In considering that it's easy to recognize that the remembrance of the seasons of Yahweh are a literal call to worship, right? It's a call for us to worship Yahweh by making noise. And it is a reminder of one of the uses of Sabbath's holy time, I think, is to encourage us to be engaged in what Ephesians 5:19 speaks of when it says, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto Yahweh. This is a time when we are encouraged to do that to take us back to remembering what the time of holy convocation is for. I think in singing, particularly from the Word of God, which we're definitely encouraged to do, that is in reciting melodious remembrances of godly worship, we could also look at Colossians 3:16, where we are told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now listen to what Paul calls the word of Christ, something I point out very often from John 1:1. He says, in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord or unto Yahweh. Colossians 3:16. There is a specific benefit of worship with biblical music above and beyond hymns composed by godly men. Godly as they may be, there is a specific benefit of worship given to us through biblical music, spiritual music. Psalm singing in biblical verse is spiritual, literally. It comes from the Spirit of God. That's why we say the Bible is God-inspired. Very few people argue that the Song of Moses or the Psalms are not God-inspired. And so while we may particularly enjoy certain godly composers, I enjoy Isaac Watts. I think what he has to say is pretty good stuff normally and really can get you thinking theologically. And we may like other composers of hymns, but we should always prefer, especially at festival time, Yahweh's composition as the highest form of worship. Yahweh's own inspired composition, especially that maybe which he revealed through David or Korah or Asaph or one of the other men or Moses that are found in the Psalms, because those are the words of Christ, Paul tells us. And so they can give us wisdom and they can teach us, and they can admonish us while we worship Yahweh by his very own words that we put in our mouth. It's something that Yahweh appreciates, is that when we take his word and we put it in our mouth and we sing his praise. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that Yahweh inhabits or dwells in the praises of his people. And so, if you want Yahweh to dwell among you and to be closer to you, then we're encouraged to sing to him because he dwells, he inhabits the praises of his people. Let's go to Psalm 47:1 for a very energetic psalm. We sing pretty often on the, we sing it often all the time. Actually, it's something we've committed to guitar and singing, and I've heard others make it, and it's an exciting psalm, but it is a psalm specifically which mentions the Hebrew word teruah. And you can see how a certain element of the trumpet that we've already read about in Numbers 10:10, which we're going to discuss even further, is discussed. And so David's going to speak about different types of trumps or noise that people make, but specifically the one that comes from the trumpet in the mouth, in the hands. He says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For Yahweh Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah, God has gone up with a shout, a trumpet, a teruah. Yahweh with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, over the nation. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." It's almost hard to just read that without singing it, actually, because we've been singing that psalm word for so long. This is an excellent psalm to sing on our memorial of trumpets. It has a lot packed into it, a lot of language for us to consider. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word teruah, which, as I said, is the Hebrew word for this day of memorial of trumps, is the word to trump, is found all through the psalm, as I had pointed out, in the context of what it's speaking of. This psalm is a hearty proclamation of Yahweh's lordship or his sovereignty. He is king of all people, it starts out with, right? Clap your hands, all you people. It tells us that he is king of all the earth. It tells us also that Yahweh, because of this sovereignty, because of his lordship, he has the right to subdue other people, and likewise he has the choice, if he chooses, to put them under the feet of his beloved Jacob, Israel. And this teruah is a proclamation of it. This shout is the shout of war in this psalm, but it is the shout of praise. It is a battle hymn, if you will. Joy for Yahweh's army to sing, but war in the ear of the heathen who would not want him to reign over them. And this day of memorial carries this idea with it to God's people, the ability to be triumphant, the ability to sound the alarm for war and to overcome. In Yahweh's sovereignty, both the concepts of joy and peace have one distillation. This is one of those amazing concepts that parallel one another, and whenever you get to the bottom of it, you realize that in Yahweh's ability to be Lord over everything, that he takes both joy and war and battle, and he reconciles them into one thing so that he can make one sentiment available to us. But depending on where you stand personally, as either God's covenant people, or one submissive to his will, or if you are rebellious to his sovereignty and to his will, you will hear two different sounds, but one noise. It's the way you interpret what you hear. The Apostle Paul, I think, wrote similarly on this note to make sense of what I'm trying to say. While perhaps not dealing at all with the memorial of trumpets necessarily, in 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 16 he says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, Psalm 47. He causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor. That means the smell. When we talk of savor, we're talking about what smell a thing has. And so he says, causes us to triumph in Christ, and he makes manifest the smell of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul goes on to say, for those who are saved, this knowledge is the savor, the smell of life, unto life. But in them who perish, those who will die, this smell or the savor is the knowledge of the smell, the savor of death unto death. While it's all one thing, the saved smell it one way, and the damned smell it another. Those who would not have him rule over them hear the sound of war, while those who will have him rule over them smell life unto life. That's how the gospel is heard, and that's what Day of Trumpets is trying to explain to us. In many ways, the trumpet, we remember, shows us this dichotomy in a rolled up understanding. It's all rolled up into one sound. It's expressed in different notes and tunes. To be to the one a sound of joy and to the other a sound of war. And so in sometimes we don't quite get what that's saying, but if you go back to what we were told in Numbers chapter 10 concerning the trump, concerning what the trumpet's role was, it was either to gather the people up to go to war or to assemble them for worship. And depending on how it was blown and what sounds were heard, it was differentiated in its understanding of what it was calling the people to do. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, for if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? How do you know the difference? And I think it goes back and reflects upon the way that you understand the noise that you hear. In many ways, this is what we recognize also in the Sabbath and in the new moon. So here's where I'm going to dovetail the different elements that we had looked at of what this is referring to. Let's look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 56:2 concerning the Sabbath, right? Because this new moon is the seventh new moon is the example and is the pattern for the way that the lunar system works and the new moon works in this understanding and this renewal of the Sabbath. Gives us a pattern for how this is to work on the Sabbath as well, not just on speaking of the trumpet and of the noise and of the music and of the sound of celebration. So in Isaiah 56:2, Isaiah says, blessed is the man that does this. Blessed is the son of Adam that lays hold on this. He that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and who keeps his hand from doing any evil. Notice that Isaiah does not pull any punches at what he says, those who pollute the Sabbath, what they're doing evil. He doesn't water it down and make it seem a little bit nicer or a little bit easier to stomach. But he also offers blessing to the man and the son of man who takes hold upon it, who takes hold upon keeping the Sabbath and not polluting it. In a long context concerning the joy of the Sabbath, Isaiah admonishes us on one hand concerning the joy of Sabbath when we are admonished, as he says, to build the old waste places. And I'm not reading all of this, but it's in the text. You can go back and read it in your own time. But there's an admonition for us to build the old waste places, the buildings that were destroyed, and to raise up foundations of many generations. He's referring to many generations that have been lost, waste places, things that have been torn down and forgotten about. And Isaiah admonishes concerning the Sabbath for people to build the old waste places, to raise up the foundations of many generations gone by, and to be called, for us to personally be called, the repairer of this breach, of this broken building, to be the restorer of the path to dwell in. And so why I say a long context is because the first quote I read to you was from Isaiah 56, but if you were to continue reading in the entirety of it all the way to Isaiah 58 and 13, which is what I'm going to read next, which would be quite a bit to read, he says that if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, holy of Yahweh, or separated by Yahweh, honorable. And if you shall honor him in not doing your own ways, or not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, which is a partial quote of the Song of Moses, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, who is your father. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken this. So we have some very direct promises to those who do some extraordinary things in a time that's extraordinarily forsaking the Sabbath day, which I think today definitely qualifies. That is, turning your foot away from doing what's wrong on the Sabbath, doing what makes you happy, not considering the things that Yahweh would have you do on the day that Yahweh is considered to be holy, that's separate, sanctified, and set apart. Instead, calling the rest of Yahweh your delight, that it is separated from Yahweh, that it is an honorable thing, and that you recognize it as an honorable thing. That is who Yahweh will honor, those who will not do their own ways and their own things, those who consider what they're doing not to do what they want to do that's pleasurable, not to say we can't have pleasurable times and joyful times, as we were obviously told in Numbers 10:10. It was to be a day of our gladness. But it was not to be a day of our gladness because we've decided it's our gladness or our pleasure, but because it's Yahweh's words that we speak, because it is Yahweh's pleasure that he's expressed to us. And so the promise that is being given to us and our children is that we delight ourselves in Yahweh. Then he will cause us to ride on the high places of the earth. That's a dominion statement. That's a thing that talks about being able to be in the high places. And he will feed us with heritage, the inheritance of our Father. And because of Yahweh's sovereignty, again, we are reminded that Yahweh, the Lord, has spoken this. He's promised it. We're going to deal with this specific verse or a chapter more in our Atonement Day message that's going to be next on the list that we're going to cover, as the context of this chapter focuses on fasting and the connection there. But nevertheless, this same Sabbath message heard by the trumpet on the memorial of trumpets, as kept on the seventh new moon of the year, also expresses that same sound of joy and war that we hear, right? You hear about pleasure and not doing your own pleasure, but doing Yahweh's pleasure or Yahweh's delight. We see again a dichotomy. We see a war between which joy should I take pleasure in, my own or Yahweh's. And I don't think it's a happen chance of logic that Isaiah wrote it this way. I'm pretty sure Yahweh made sure that this came through once again in considering these two sentiments that are being developed in understanding the Sabbath and understanding the sound of the trumpet that comes with it and the sound of the type of Sabbath that Yahweh would have us follow. On the Sabbath, we've talked about in many messages starting this series in developing a constitutive nature of the Sabbath with the festivals and how they've always worked together from Genesis 1:14 onward. That goes pretty far back, like all the way to the creation. And so all of this were in the seasons, in the signs of Yahweh from the very beginning. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew what he was going to develop and bring forth. He knew what he was going to show Moses on the pattern, in the pattern of the mount that he showed him for all worship. And so we deal with this subject as if it is forever. It is everlasting because the word of Yahweh endures forever. And we understand that. And so whenever we look at the festivals in Leviticus 23:3, we see that it's bringing the fourth commandment with it, right, as a Sabbath. And so when we understand the seventh new moon, we understand that it's happening in conjunction and in relationship to that same Genesis 1:14 pattern and system. Always by the commandment, it brings with it the remembrance that we talked about all the way back in the beginning messages on those verses in the template, Leviticus 23:3. It brings with it the idea of bondage. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, remember, using the same language as we find in Exodus 20 and the same Hebrew language we find referring to the Feast of Trumpets, or technically the Day of the Memorial of the Trumpet. When it says, "Remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that Yahweh your God brought you out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore," or because of this, "Yahweh your God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." While a person may think that they are becoming more free to do what they need to do or do what they want to do by breaking the Sabbath and not doing Yahweh's delights and his pleasure, they are in fact selling themselves into bondage by not keeping it. Not only are they going against the Sovereign Lord, but they have tricked themselves and their flesh has tricked them into believing that they will somehow accomplish more by not doing what Yahweh wants them to do, as if he does not have rule over forever. And so it's always been in the purpose of Yahweh, I think, to express these, not just in the feasts, but in the Sabbaths in general, the weekly Sabbaths. And that's why this Day of the Memorial of the Trumpet is specifically commanded to be kept by the same way that Numbers 10:10 tells us, in conjunction with Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and reminding us that there is a conflict. What happens when people lose a battle? They don't sing for joy anymore. Rather, they've heard the sound of war. They've been taken in captive. They've been made bound. They're bondsmen. They're in bondage. And so the two distillations spoken of joy in keeping the weekly season of Sabbath rest, and the war aspect of it also, oftentimes when we're stuck in heathen mentality because of the world that we're in the heathen world that we're in, find ourselves, when we are bound to Yahweh's delight according to our flesh, we think that it is a struggle, or it's a war, it's a challenge to do the things that Yahweh would have us do. And I think that this feast brings that to mind every time. And so the trumpet is blown for the remembrance of this, to be remembered on the seventh new moon, to memorialize the meaning of the trumpet, and to remember what Numbers 10 taught us about the meaning of that trumpet, so that we can connect it to our Sabbath worship, to remember that we were commanded to keep the Sabbath because we were conquered, because we were in bondage to other people, and we were at one time struggling to serve Yahweh, begging to go into the wilderness and serve Yahweh, and we were not allowed to do so until Yahweh delivered us and stretched out his mighty hand to allow that to happen. And so, very important thing to, I think, remember is the joyful time of celebration that we're supposed to have in how we blow the trumpet, and recognizing that it is a time for singing and a time for praise, but that also that our doing so is a blast of war to those who hate Yahweh and those who do not want to worship Yahweh by the way Yahweh told them to worship and expresses to them by being the God of the heavens and the earth and how he makes that cycle move according to his dictates. And we can't change that. We can pretend that we can change it, or we can ignore principles of it and say that that's not how it is, and or maybe choose another day or whatever it is that we may do to try to get around what Yahweh would have us do or how we understand what Yahweh would do. But Yahweh is ultimately the one who makes things happen his way, and we have to listen to him. You know, oftentimes whenever I have talked to people, and I'm sure the family's heard it also, whenever we have talked to people about what we do on trumpets, that we actually blow a trumpet, and people say, "Oh, you know, that's neat that you guys do that." Others say, "You know, you don't really have to do that under the new covenant." Then you'll get that response too. And a lot of times, you know, that starts to get hard to deal with, because what people don't realize is while they take this approach, they just simply rest in Jesus. They just simply spiritualize the meanings of everything. We don't have to blow a real trumpet as long as we're blowing a trumpet in our heart or something like that, which is, those are literal expressions that people use to try to get around doing something. And I don't know why they struggle to do it. You know, Or people who say, well, we don't really have to sing to Yahweh. We just sing in our heart. You know, that's what Paul said, to sing in our heart. He didn't mean that we have to actually sing. And so, once again, we spiritualize the meanings of things and ignore what it is that we have to do. And likewise, people do the same thing with the Sabbath. I just rest in Jesus. I rest in my heart, but I do whatever I want to do in my flesh. It just doesn't work that way because the remembrance is not understood in its fullness. The memorial is not understood in its fullness, considering this subject. So I'm trying to roll up these concepts into one whole. That is the memorial of the seventh new moon and instructing us and reminding us to remember the Sabbath day by Yahweh's cycle, which he commands, which I believe that is why the seventh new moon is chosen to be the pattern for the new moons throughout the year, to show us that it is a Sabbath and it is a time of no servile work. And that this time is to be a time for the people of Yahweh who know that he's king, joyful and to be pleasurable to us, to be a day of gladness, to be a day for worship, that's to be a solemn assembly day that we actually assemble with our families, and in opposition to the trumpet as a sound of rejoicing in Yahweh's deliverance and mercy, that we should realize that those who will not do this and who do not want to do this, they do not hear the sound of a literal trumpet or the rest in a literal Sabbath as being a good thing. Rather, they hear it as war against them. It makes them upset. It makes them angry. And sometimes they may think, oh, that's neat you do that, but you don't have to do it. That's a war act. It's a subversion of the truth that the scripture says plainly. When joy is not found within a person to do a thing that God wants them to do, it is because they're at variance with it. Some people are ignorant. Some people just don't understand. But when a person understands and refuses, it's war. Plain and simple. So do not be mistaken. There is a trumpet blown in the heavenly type, regardless, in the recognition of the new moon. You know, the scriptures teach us that at some point in the future, all flesh will come and worship in the Sabbaths and the new moon and the new heavens and the new earth when that's completed. We're taught that that will happen at some point. And so because we know that it will happen throughout eternity, that there is a heavenly type of trumpet that's always going to be blown, and that on earth when our new moons are happening and we are replicating the thing that happens in the heavens for the renewal of the Sabbath cycle that we understand it as, if we were to ignore that Sabbath sign, it will not stop the thing that happens regardless of if we acknowledge it or not. Yahweh blows his trumpet and he moves the moon according to his will in order to make time come to pass as he sees fit. And we can't change that. And so any denial of that reality and not going with it when it's understood is an act of war against it. And the trumpet no longer is a sound of joy. It's once again a sound of war. So as when Moses heard the feast proclaimed to Yahweh in Exodus, the Yahweh, the golden calf, that is, not the Yahweh that that we understand it to be, the Yahweh that has no image. But when that feast was proclaimed to Yahweh, the golden calf, and dancing was heard and joy in the sin that they were committing, Joshua heard the noise of war, yet in fact the noise of joy was at that time the noise of war as well, but it was a war against Yahweh because the people decided to do their own pleasure on that day. So I want to end with reading a psalm that expresses, I think, quite a bit the way that this is we are supposed to understand the day of the memorial of the trumpet, and I think this is probably written for just any Sabbath time, but specifically mentioning two points of it. It's Psalm 81, starting in verse 1. It's a psalm of Asaph, which says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength, and make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. Take a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon. in the time appointed, which most other translations actually say in the full moon there. And so it says, blow up the trumpet in the new moon and in the full moon, which of course are the two primary points of festival worship in Leviticus 23. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, a witness, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, and his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou called in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. I'm going to end there in verse 7. And so this type of Sabbatic worship, according to the heavenly cycle that even this psalm is also proclaiming once again, proclaimed by the new moon, is a memorial we are called to. And within this Sabbath, we are called to worship, remembering many concepts that are carried into the trumpet that we can focus on. But they are ultimately distilled in these two categories that all reconcile themselves into one aspect of the trumpet. Joy and war. Those are the two things that this festival brings with it. So whenever we take our times to celebrate with Yahweh on those days, whenever we take time to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we should always remember that bondage and war is right around the corner, and that by keeping the feasts of Yahweh, by doing the things Yahweh would have us do, in remembering these things his way, we are in fact making war against the enemy. We are in fact proclaiming war in a heathen world of our king and his supremacy. So I think it's very important for us to remember that, because oftentimes we get carried away, people get carried away in wanting to change things. They want to politically change things, or they want to physically change things by going out and actually doing something about this or that. And we need to remember that by worshiping Yahweh in this world and by being his light, being the light of the earth, being the salt of the earth, that worshiping Yahweh, Yahweh's way, is like blowing a trumpet, and in literally blowing his trumpet for the seventh new moon, and teaching our children to do that, and teaching our brethren and showing them the way to worship Yahweh. This is a way to repress bondage, and this is a way to wage war. This is a way to worship Yahweh and to do both, and to teach the lessons from history that need to be taught, so that if those times ever did come where war was actually upon Christians again, that we would have a refuge to fall back to and to remember that Yahweh is our help and Yahweh is our Savior in our times of trouble.
This is Renewed Covenant Ministry.